and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, friends and family. Back again to talk about DoFriend Building Materials. Did you know that we have a new updated online order system called DoFriend Easy Buy? Come see us at DoFriendLumber.com to check it out and get you started with a free quote. We now have 8 convenient locations to serve you, which include Cutoff, Thibodaux, Luling, Belchase, Araby, Slidell, Gulfport, and Grand Isle. And no matter how big we grow as a company, we promise to keep that local family business feel and welcome you with a smile. So come give the local guys a try and experience the DoFriend difference.
It's Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover. Join us for Thursdays with the crew of Katie's. Every Thursday, we'll be live at a member of the Katie's family of restaurants from 12 to 3. Whether it's Katie's on Iberville, Francesca's Deli on Harrison, or Bienview on Hickory. Enjoy lively sports banter with delicious eats. Join us as we talk about the latest from our local teams, and you'll likely hear me argue with Scott Craig about his St. Louis Cardinals and my Chicago Cubs. Good thing he's a Brother Martin grad. Thursdays from 12 to 3 is the Sports Hangover with the crew of Katie's on ESPN New Orleans.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. We're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled, or business closes. For mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, La Rose. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan. 800-998-1003 and a Rudiman can caller and guest hotline. We're talking NBA playoffs. To suspend or not to suspend. We're talking Saints here as well. Rookie mini camp. Who's the member of the Saints rookie mini rookie class that you'll be forward to seeing some stuff? You know, fresh videos, some photos, the works. What are you excited about? Josh, thank you for holding it on, sir. First segment's all yours. What do you want, man?
My guy, man. Thank you for taking my call, guys.
For sure.
I heard you ask on the radio who I thought the best quarterback or where Derek Carr ranked in the NFC South. He's actually the fifth best quarterback. I could argue Michael Penix is better than Derek Carr. I could 100% argue that. I actually have a stat for you, Gus.
Okay.
In the last 20 years, any quarterback that's been drafted in the top 10, okay, in the last 20 years, dating back basically before once Aaron Rodgers, after him, any quarterback's been drafted in the first top 10 picks, they have started either they've started game one either the first season or the second season. There's 47 quarterbacks in the last 27 years. Michael Penix Jr. will be on the field sooner than later. I think Terry Fontenot just basically is going to pay a guy $100 million for 2 years and then just move on. And I think that's what's going to happen. And I think it's awesome.
I want to play something for you real quick. I want to play something for you real quick. This is Adam Schefter this morning.
I would think that we'd see a lot of Michael Penix in the preseason. That would be my guess. Not as much of Kirk Cousins at all. Just because he's coming off the Achilles, there's no reason to expose him early on. I'm sure they're going to want to get him a little work. I'm sure it would be more important to get Michael Penix more work knowing that in a perfect world he's not playing at all this season. They haven't decided that yet, but sure there'll be plenty of work for Penix and a lot less work for Cousins during the preseason.
There you go. What if he has a really good preseason?
I mean, look, man, he's a top 10 quarterback. You know, you did the clip earlier about, you know, Terry getting jumped before, and I mean, they're set at quarterback regardless. Even if it's a C-plus performance for the next 5 years, they're not going to have a bad quarterback. They're not going to have a Desmond Ridder type. So, you know, Bryce Young, they just gave him a bunch of options and weapons in the draft. They got a tight end, a running back, and a wide receiver. So I think his first season is like a kind of like a Jordan Love first season, you know, like just like, we'll see what happens. But I want to call about your boy, Roy. That's why I was calling, guys.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah, well, you held on for a while, so he must have said something.
Jason Tatum's career average is 23 points per game, okay? 23. He's 1-4 in conference finals series. 1-4, and he lost in the finals. Jimmy Butler in the past 4 years has been in the conference finals 3 times, in the finals twice, okay? So don't even give me that. And I could argue Jaylen Brown's a better player than Jason Tatum. With the whole Anthony Ant-Man thing, this is exciting, guys. This is exciting, man. I try not to buy into, like, the Greek freak and Dame time and all this stuff. Like, this kid's 21, 22 years old, and he's doing this. Like, what's he going to be like at 26? You know what I mean? Like, what's this kid going to be like? So I'm excited to see that. I just wanted to call you and tell you that. You know, it's exciting.
Wait. We have a response. This is just like after the State of the Union, you have to have the opposing view give an immediate response.
Yeah, you know I'm about that, Dad. You know.
All right, here it is. He has just texted me. 1-4 because of LeBron with a laughing emoji face. Tell him to call back when the Celtics win the ship. So you've been warned.
So how can a guy be the face of the league, yet he's not responsible for winning because of another player? Wouldn't that mean the other player would be the face of the league? That's crazy. Crazy idea, huh? Crazy idea.
Here's the thing. It's also what I said, too, that I got... Oh, man. I'm sorry. I got interrupted by my train of thought, and it's a good one, and I'll play it for you. It may not be good for Saints fans, but that's why I asked him. He's not even, again, it's not a slight to him. I'm just saying he's not an MVP finalist this year when his team was unbelievably dominant in number of wins in the East and most wins in the NBA. It's Luka, Jokic, and SGA. Like, it's just hard to say you're the face of the league if you're not even an MVP candidate.
I agree. And I do understand what Roy's saying. Like,
sure.
They locked up the East so early that I guess, like, the attention went on to the rest of the league, which I understand that. But, I mean, Porzingis is out. Like, if they don't win this next series, I mean, if they don't make the finals, I don't know what you do. You know what I mean? But... at least they're making the playoffs and winning series. The Pelicans are horrible, so, you know.
Are you ready for what interrupted me?
What interrupted you?
Somebody's listening and said, to Josh's point, and just sent me this clip.
Pelicans coming after Carr. Picked off! Jesse Bates! He's got a shot! Bates to midfield, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20. No question. Pick six. No flags.
There you go. That was the Derek Carr pick six against the Falcons when New Orleans was up 3-0, looking to go up 10-0 in that game.
Yeah, it's going to be I'm excited for the wide receiver depth chart conversations we're going to have, Gus, in about 2 months. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
100%. But I wanted Bowers. It would have been awesome to have some. It would have been cool just to play that Bengals game where it's like, okay, we don't need a line. Let's just get weapons and see what happens. You know what I mean?
I like that. That's what the Bengals did. They did that for a while.
And I'll say this, you know, I think this is a testament, you know, maybe to Mickey Loomis making a good decision in terms of that. Because if you look back on that decision with the Bengals, they had Penei Sewell and then they had Ja'Marr Chase. Penei Sewell was actually like 20 years old in like 1 month when he got drafted. The dude just signed like the biggest contract ever for a lineman. And I went and looked at it. He's 23 right now. Mm-hmm. And if you look at like what the Lions are doing, you know, I mean, they have Amon-Ra and they have all these things, but they're known for running the ball.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to the NFL, man, you know, I'm not a football guy, but you build the line and you move your way out. So hopefully this pick goes for us. But, you know, it just shows that like you can throw to a weapon, but you don't, you know, what are you going to do with it? So,
no, it's like I said,
anyway,
I was
Gus,
talking to John.
Always good to talk to you,
I want
to
ask you something real quick, because this popped up on my screen here as well. Bovada Official, they do odds, like a sports book, stuff like that. NBA Central just tweeted the Philadelphia 76ers are the favorites to land Jimmy Butler in a possible trade at plus 200. At plus 400, the second team on the list, the New Orleans Pelicans. They got the Nets at plus 600, Kings 800, Spurs 1200, Lakers 1400, Knicks 1400, Cavs 1600, the Hawks 1800, so on and so forth. But they have the Pelicans as the second most favored team to maybe land them in a trade. Do you want Jimmy Buckets?
This is what I'll say. I was listening to the show, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, we're talking about the percentage of the max deal that Ingram should get. I actually looked up his stats. If you would have taken his best career years, at any year, and you would apply it to this year, because, you know, we're saying, oh, he had his worst year of his, sure, of his career. You take the best stats of his career and you apply it to this year, he would have been 18th in points per game and 35th in assists per game. You cannot pay a guy $200 million, which would be in 4 years, which would be like a top 11 contract. You can't pay the guy. I say he's worth 60% of that. I say you give him a deal, you trade him. We get in Butler, or I'll tell you this, Paul George, or maybe a Devin Booker. I don't know, but it's fun to play the fantasy game. But I think in terms of like Ingram, you don't pay the kid because his best career years are like middle of the pack players, you know? So I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see who you move and who you don't and what you do or not. I'm with you. I think, man, you need to be convicted if you're going to commit and invest in $200+ million, right? Because that's going to strap you in a couple of areas. And obviously, it's who do you feel and believe in the most that's going to surround those three guys. I don't know if you heard my conversation yesterday. I was kind of relaying it almost to branches, right? I mean, I wouldn't even call them foundational pieces like we have foundations here. You know, you have a slab for your home, or if they're raised, you have cable lock and people put the houses now on bricks and stuff. I don't even know if they're saying if the Pels have that, to be honest with you, because legitimately when I was at the weekend with my guys this weekend, on our guys trip, we were just kind of talking about it. And look, you know, one's a state trooper. One guy owns a car wash in the North Shore. Like, they watch sports, but they're doing other things, not like me. And I found it interesting how they spoke about, quote-unquote, the big three and who you move on with and move forward with and all that. And it is interesting to think that you have a franchise that has to go in a direction with one, right, as the centerpiece. You can have, you know, you can argue if it's one of the three, but they all have interesting questions about it, right? And it's not even like being disrespectful. I mean, when you look at it, CJ, you have age, you have price, you have, you know, can he create his own shot sort of a thing? Would BI, it's the physical aspect of it. What is his ceiling? Has he reached his ceiling? Like, you know, can he himself elevate a team to a victory or a series win? Zion, I think you've seen in that Laker game and other moments this season, he's different than those other two guys. So I would lean in that direction, but I refer to it almost like a branch, if that makes sense, on a tree. He's the strongest of the branches, but it's a branch. It's not the tree, if it makes any sense. Because the fact that one of my friends, Greg, is like, Gus, he hasn't played in a playoff game in 5 years. Like, when you think about that, he's going into his sixth season, and he hasn't been in the postseason. Now, you can say that's the team. You can say it's his health. You can say, regardless, that they're branches. I wouldn't even call him a redwood. I wouldn't call him an magnolia tree, not a cypress tree. They're branches right now because you're almost hoping and you're going to be praying that one of those branches, I guess, eventually turns into a big old trunk or something. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's frustrating because it's like we're talking about all this big money, and I feel it's like at what point do we stop giving guys money based on potential after 5 years, zero playoff, you know, wins and all this type of stuff. And it's just like it's frustrating. But I will say this, Gus, David Griffin is not afraid to make moves. You know, he made the big trade for Zion. He even traded back with the fourth overall pick to get, you know, to take Jackson Hayes. And he's making moves, and I get that. But, like, I think it's good that he's not afraid. I think he's understood that it's not going to work now, and I hope that he's going to make moves that can, you know, like you said, set a base and build that tree. You know, we can have a mahogany and all that type of stuff, but I don't think what we're doing is working, and I think it falls on him. And I don't think if we make any big moves, I think it's going to be like the Saints in terms of like 2 or 3 years. What are we going to be in 2 or 3 years? So it's just, you know, it is what it is. But I'm gonna come and see you Thursday.
Sounds good, man. I'll be there at Katie's. Looking forward to it. I'll have a spare headset if you want to chime in and have a conversation.
Absolutely, my man. Have a thank good day, guys.
Yeah, man.
Day.
Thank you, Josh. Yep, for sure. Holding on through three segments today. 800-998-1003 and a Rudiman Can caller and guest hotline. Love to have you chime in. No guest this hour. If you want to talk about everything that we've touched on today here as well, the T-Wolves, we started with their win over the Nuggets. They're up 2-0 in that game last night. Jamal Murray throws a towel. I got plenty of sound as to what people think about that. Now, he threw a towel and a heat pad at an official. Didn't hit him. Landed on the floor next to him. The towel was grabbed by the towel boy. The heat pad a few minutes later was grabbed by a Nuggets player to suspend or to not to suspend. And Rudy Gobert caught the ball on the right block and went up and kissed it off the glass. And the heat pad goes in between both of his feet when he was going in. A dangerous situation. That's what everyone is saying. More importantly, he threw two things at an official. Like, that's suspendable. That's a suspendable act. My opinion. So we'll talk about that. What Mike Malone has to say about that. We've been talking about the Pels here as well. Something that was interesting that was said to me about C.J. McCollum. That's going to come out in the podcast tomorrow with Will Guillory at The Athletic, who joined us to do that. So I'll talk about that coming up next segment. We talked with John Sigler about the Saints. Rookie minicamps this weekend. Josh said he's looking forward to a player or two. Who are you looking forward to, you know, getting fresh video, a photo, a slow-mo? Do you want to see Spencer Rattler? Slow-mo spiral. To who? Kool-Aid. Want to see him hit those bags? Catch a pass? Pick six? You tell me. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Let's hit it. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
See what they can do for you from, drains that don't work. Any kind of plumbing. They got you. For sure. I used them a while back. That's how I came in contact with Rudiman Can. So go check them out, rudimancan.com. Hour 2 was brought to you by Chris's Paving. Hour 1 was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Orlando, thank you for giving us a call here this afternoon on the show. How are you today?
I'm well. And yourself?
Doing well, man. Good to hear from you.
Man, it's a pleasure to call, man. I love Josh. Josh, you have a fan out here. You're one of the most knowledgeable callers that call into the radio station. And I once felt like Josh when I cared that much to do back and go back and do the research and break it down into percentages and break it down into graphs. But when you do that, you care that much, you better have a good workout plan, because when you start caring about stats and the fanship, it can hurt your health. I got a crazy story. When I was a kid,
okay.
Everybody, you start picking your team. And my family's a football family, so we're picking teams. And I was like, they had a picture of me as a baby in a Saints uniform, so I'm like, I'm going to pick the Saints. My cousin said, you can't pick the Saints. I said, well, I want to pick the Saints. It's like, look, the Saints are bad. You can't pick them. And they sent our grandfather into a heart attack. He cared about the Saints so much. They were playing a game. He was hooping and hollering. And it's a true story. He had a heart attack cheering for the Saints. And it was forbidden for, like, the next generation to root for the Saints. And I got a root for the Saints from the outside looking in. It really, I can't have that crazy hard fanship, but I didn't root against them, and I just wish for the team to do well, just in case my cousins are listening. But I called in about the Pelicans, and never played on a higher level, higher than high school, and I don't really know if people that watch basketball know how essential a point guard is to a team. And we can go back to, like, really good point guards, and we can go back to, like, subpar point guards that just run the show. Everybody knows about the Magic Johnsons, the John Stockton's, the Jason Kidd. But do anybody remember Eric Snow from, like, the 76ers?
Oh, my.
With,
yeah.
Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Iverson ran the show. He was, I think, Eric Snow probably,
yeah,
scored like 9 to 10 points a game, but he controlled the floor. Okay, when you have a point guard, and this is what I've seen with the I've called, I've heard other callers talk about, you brought up yesterday, what would you go with? The 7-footer in the paint, or would you go with the point guard? Me, myself, I'm going with the point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I say, this is the reason why I say now. If you had a point guard, I believe in my heart that Ingram would be a better sport. Let me tell you why. Let's go back to the Memphis game. The Pelicans are blowing Memphis out by 20 points. And as it gets closer to the fourth quarter, that the Grizzlies ratchet up the defense. You start seeing them fight through picks. You start, now the whole game, everybody's getting what they want. And this is what a lot of viewers, if you never played the game, you don't understand. Money time is that fourth quarter. I might let you get off a couple of buckets. I'm not trying to accumulate fouls. So you're going and you're scoring 20 points, and that those 20 points look real good. But can you do it when I don't want you to do it? And the position of point guard is to get you into your offense. So what I'm saying is, I watch CJ get locked up with Smart. I watch Smart lock David. I mean, lock Ingram up, and I'm looking, and they could not get their shots off. Now, if you have a point guard, and I don't know who you're going to, because we can play possibly CJ at the two, but I'm understanding with his contract, CJ might have to be the Iron Man out. I'm keeping Ingram, because when you need a bucket, and you need that lethal, that 2-point jump shot, which is kind of disappearing from the game, where you're either shooting a three or you're going to get a layup. If you have that point guard to break that press, I want to see you try to press the point guard from the Grizzlies. I want to see you try to press the point guard from the team. Try to press those guys and watch what happens to your defense when he splits that two-man, and now it's 5-on-3. When you have a point guard, whether he can – so that's why I think the one that we let go was not Najee, the real quick guard from Alabama, he should have been put into the offense a little bit more, because you have to learn how to play the game. He's a point guard. In college, you're going to get away with all this, all these extra steps. You're going to get away with defenses not really honing on you to stop you. In the pros, these guys not going to play that. So he had to learn to play. We never gave him a chance. Now, if this guy turns into the superstar, we're all going to look like with AIDS on our face, and everybody's going to be looking at Griffin about why he let him go. But the point guard, if we don't have Ingram bringing the ball up. Now, everybody was hard on Ingram. He's coming off a knee injury, and I understand that, in the playoffs. But if he had a point guard to bring that ball up and get him the ball with, let's say, with 20 seconds to 15 seconds, and we can start our offense from right there, and he's running plays, he's telling people what. Right now, I see that as a lack of leadership on the Pels, like everybody's doing their own thing. If we can run an offense and run it through the point guard, one of the big three has to go. CJ, I love him. I love him, but I also see him, and he has 3 or 4 good games, and he's up in age. When your legs get tired, your jump shot is gone. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Only the elite of elite can still have that jump shot late into the fourth quarter. But he's up in age. Now, he goes off a run where we see him hit 9 3-pointers, 7 3-pointers. Was like, where that's been? But seeing the fourth quarter, when you're asking this 30-year-old man, 30, 32, 30, run the offense through him and his legs are gone. That's why he jumps out. And then he keeps shooting it because he has confidence in it, but his legs are gone. So he's searching for it. Now he has to put a little bit push with his wrist. He has to put a little bit more, and sometimes you see a lot of times where it's hitting the back of the rim or it's coming short because his legs are gone. If we have a point guard, and the point guard get him into the offensive side, and everybody just runs the play, and the point guard is doing all the work, man, I really want to see it, not one more year, because I think we've seen what the team that like is maybe at the pinnacle, but then we can't say that. Because of dying. because of we never had a chance to really see what this team can do in the playoffs in a seventh game, bouncing up against Zion for 5 and 6 games. Do you believe that the tall rookie guy from OKC was like maybe that third game but constantly getting hit in the rib by Zion Williamson in a 5-6 game series? I believe he would have been stepping out away a little bit, you know, when it once it got back to that third and fourth game and fifth game, and you don't want to take that charge anymore. You don't want to block Zion's shot because he's 250 pounds. That would have been nice to see. But I really do think, man, we have to go big on a point guard.
Tell you what, it's interesting, Orlando, and look, I mean, you broke it down as clear as anybody that I've heard in terms of reasoning behind it. And Will Guillory, who was on with us this morning, he's going to be on the podcast tomorrow, talk about specifically C.J. McCollum in our player profile breakdown, looking at the season. And he brought up something that was interesting in terms of like his work ethic and what he does and what he brings to the table, being a professional and things of that nature, getting clips sent by his people that work with him and stuff on how to address things. He had a list already of what he wanted to work on for the upcoming season, getting stronger, you know, lower legs, lateral movement. Will brought up a lot of good stuff that was kind of behind the scenes. And I do think that's an asset to it. And I've kind of gone back and forth as to, okay, if I have to part with one or the other, you know, what am I parting out with and moving on and forward on that. But I feel that in any of those conversations, what you just said, point guard, always comes up. And I'm one. I mean, you need a ball handler. Believe me, I've been yelling about that just as much as General D. I do it all the time. The thing that I guess stands out to me is there's two things almost going against you this year. As Jim Eichenhofer and others bring up, there really aren't that many quote-unquote traditional point guards. Now, take what David Griffin said at the end of the year presser, where he was asked that specifically, and he says, look, there really aren't that. You know, you take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's a shooting point guard. So I don't know if that's him kind of letting us know, hey, look, we're going to look for a point guard. We're going to look for point guard, but don't harp on the quote-unquote traditional, as in dish-first sort of guy, because he brought up, look, Shai gets the offense going, they get the right shot. So I think they're looking for somebody to maybe do that. Maybe not in the sense of the traditional Chris Paul kind of guy. A. B, man, I can't find a single person, Orlando, that tells me the draft is anything other than just bad this year. And even the point guards that are listed, they're either undersized, like the Kentucky guy who doesn't play any defense. Look, I think Dillingham's good, but he's not 6'6". Proven defense. You know what? You get what I'm getting at? So, and then, then you go to the free agency aspect. And as I think JD even said to me once, he goes, not only do they not grow on trees, but if you got one, they ain't going to just give them to you. You know, if he's any good. So it's like, we all want an Anthony Edwards or something like that, right? But so I think when I look at it this year, man, I don't know. Like, who is that guy? I mean, look, I just saw somebody Photoshop Trae Young next to B.I. and Zion. Are they better? Like, if I see that photo, should I immediately say, are they better? Because the first thing that pops in my head is Atlanta drafted him. 3-4 coaches have tried to coach him, and they're willing to move on from him.
Right. Something's,
you know what I mean? Because that's the first thing that pops in my head.
Yeah, right. Something's wrong there. And he has had talent around him. It's not like this guy hasn't had talent. He's had talent around him. But do you remember when we were looking for a new coach and what sold us on Willie Green? I don't have any problems. Willie Green will know, he will forget more basketball than I will ever know. But one thing we were talking about Sam Cassell and how his relationship with Chris Paul, the developmental developmental skills of Willie Green. And everybody was like, he's such a player coach. And I really believe, I really believe that the guys will run through a wall for him. But you reiterated over and over and over again, well, the the lack of enthusiasm coming into the game. They punched us in our mouth. We came out flat. You're the coach. You control that. You control that. Wade Phillips, love him to death. He's one of the best defensive coordinators in the world. Every time you gave him a head coaching job at Denver and Texas, they ran over. At Dallas, they ran over. They constantly ran over this guy because it's somewhere along the line, you got to stop being a player's coach and be a coach's coach. And some guys you got to pat on the back. Some guys you got to kick in the butt. We can see it. When do we ever see Ingram, I'm talking about this enthusiasm, talking and getting in the next guy's face. Everything is like nonchalant. Like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. All right, I just scored 36. And where does that work? You're getting that from Zion.
Oh, my gosh.
You're one of the leaders. You're one of the guys that guys look to. I even seen CJ bark at the opposing team. But this is the guy that really runs your offense. And he's leading your team in assists out of necessity.
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't have 100%.
And that's the one thing I've said this week and last week, too. I mean, you want B.I. being your leader in assists. I can't imagine that's the first thing that comes to my head, right? I mean, it's just not. Orlando, good phone call, man. Good breakdown. Let's see what takes place over the next couple of weeks.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. I love these calls, man. It's good stuff. So I had no guest this hour. Mario wants to jump in, though, and jump on the conversation of Jamal Murray, amongst others. Victor Wembanyama, your rookie of the year, unanimous fashion. Shocking. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I feel like he should be suspended. That was an inch away from Karl Anthony Towns planting his right foot right on that thing. That could have hurt him. He could have been out of the game. I understand it's not precedent, but I think that was such an immature move by Jamal Murray, and that could have been a really hurtful, nasty thing to happen to Karl.
I'll be shocked if he's not.
There it is. Mario Jarez is joining us to talk a little bit about that and a couple of other handful of topics here as well. Mario, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, what's good, Gus? Doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Doing great. How are you, my friend?
How do you think this is going to happen? I mean, I saw that. Like, did he just throw a towel? Then he throws a heating pad, which goes in between the legs of Rudy Gobert before he goes and kisses it off the glass there. First off, Brian Windhorst says he's never seen it happen, so there's no precedent. What do you think happens to Jamal Murray?
So I think he's an idiot for what he did last night, for sure. That soundbite was correct. It could have been dangerous. He could have hurt somebody. He could have hit Mark Davis. But based on how he was shooting the ball, I'm not really surprised he missed the throw there. But we should also use a little bit of common sense here, in my opinion. I don't think he should be suspended. Had any of that stuff happened, had he actually made contact with the referee, you'd have a really good case for suspending him. But this is Jamal Murray. He's already had some really, just from a neutral fan point of view, has already had some really cool moments in the playoffs. It's nice that it was against the Lakers. But that's somebody that fans definitely want to see, right? And that's somebody that the Nuggets definitely need if they have any prayer of coming back in this series. So they're correct in saying that. But in a rare case, I actually agree with Draymond Green because I saw him have the same opinion. And that said, Jamal Murray should not be suspended.
So you're going with intent versus action there.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the case. Like I said, had any of that stuff happened, I get it, but it did not. That being said, I did kind of enjoy it a little bit. I liked that it got to that point of Jamal Murray being frustrated because I am very petty. And I know you remember 2009, the first round series between the Nuggets and the then New Orleans Hornets. And seeing a shot of Anthony Edwards just flexing and the crowd looking all dejected reminded me of that. So I understand why Jamal's a little frustrated.
I get it. I understand. This is what Brian Windhorst had to say in terms of what he thinks the punishment may eventually be if that takes place.
After the game, Mark Davis, the lead official, one of the best officials in the NBA, says they didn't call it because they didn't see it. Now, it's coming from behind the bench. I don't blame them for not seeing it. So the question is, well, what is the penalty? And had they seen Jamal Murray throw this, Mark Davis on the record says they would have been a technical foul, not an ejection. Now, I do believe he's facing a fine here, and I don't know what to do about the incident with throwing the towel, because now you got a player throwing multiple things at an official. By the way, Chris Finch said after the game that this was dangerous. He's right. Most of the penalties in the NBA are for players throwing things off the court.
Right.
It's an immediate ejection if you throw it off the court. But I don't, frankly, I don't know the precedent for throwing stuff on the court. It never happens.
I want two games. I want a game per item. That's what I'm going with.
That would be fair. And immediately, Patrick Beverly comes to mind because you talked about right.
That's the thing I was saying, Mario.
Was yelling 1-2-3 Cancun, and Beverly was throwing the ball at her. He wanted to hurt her, or he at least wanted to send a message.
Yes.
I don't think Jamal Murray wanted Cat to slip on the towel. He didn't want to hit Mark Davis.
He threw it twice. The first one, fine. He threw the second thing because it didn't reach the first time. The only thing I look at is this. You can't even speak about officiating without the league finding players or coaches. I can't imagine you're going to sit there and be like, not you, just the league goes, well, you know, nothing happened. The guy threw something at an official. He didn't even throw something at a player. I mean, he threw it at an official. Like, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I'm saying is, like, imagine Alvin Kamara doesn't like a holding call, an offsides call, and just chucks whatever, his towel to dry his hands at the referee. You don't think he's getting flagged?
Or Tom Brady throws a tablet and it just lands like 6 inches farther away.
Yes, 100%. Tom Brady throws a tablet at an official. Yes, and it doesn't get to him, but he throws a tablet onto the field. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, but the NBA is also really weird with these kind of things. Like, I forgot who it was. I think it was two seasons ago. Actually shoved an official and made contact with him, and he ended up not even getting suspended. He actually got fined the same amount, I think, as Anthony Edwards did for saying a slur. Mm. So the NBA is kind of all over the place with that one. But at the end of the day, I think Jamal Murray should be playing. And unfortunately for the Nuggets, it's probably not going to matter that much.
I want to ask you, this was a topic on First Take earlier this morning, because we all saw what Jalen Brunson did again last night. Now, the 40-point performance, he's playing well. We see what Anthony Edwards has done, right? 40, 40, 30, 29, whatever, the last four games. This is what Shannon Sharp had to say.
Shay, tell me this. Who's been more impressive this postseason, Jalen Brunson or Ant-Man?
Guys, they've both been very, very impressive. But what Jalen Brunson is doing is unbelievable. For a guy his size, that's what's the most impressive thing. To get the shots that he's getting into the lane. Scoring from the lane, the mid-range, the three ball, when they absolutely got to have a bucket, he goes and gets it. And that's not to say Anthony Edwards have not been impressive. He's been extremely impressive, especially having a 2-0 lead on the defending champs. But what Jalen Brunson is doing, the consecutive 40-point games, doing it game in and game out, and when they have to have it, because if you really look at it, we've seen Karl Anthony Towns go get you 60 points in a ball game. We've seen him go get 50 points in a ball game. So they have another guy that can go get you 40, 50, maybe even 60 points in the game. It's Jalen Brunson or bust.
Mario, when I first saw that, I'm like, this dude's out of his mind. And then listening to his comparison and looking at it, it's a tougher call for me. Who you got?
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, you definitely got to contextualize the fact that Julius Randle is not out there. And Pelicans fans know all about not having your star players available. And I think the great ones can kind of not make excuses and carry their team. And a franchise like the Knicks that recently has been a little bit better under Thibodeau but has not had that success, it's really impressive to do it for them. And I think going back to the Pelicans, you have to give the Knicks a lot of credit for making that move, because they made a big investment in Jalen Brunson. And a lot of people thought maybe Luka carried him a little bit in Dallas and they were overcommitting to Jalen. But that was a really good pickup. And any trade like that or any acquisition like that is going to carry some kind of risk, right? So any trade that the Pelicans were to make right now, whether that be Trae Young, who's had defensive issues, whether that be Jimmy Butler, who's getting up there in age, there will be some element of risk. But you got to believe in the players that you give stuff up for, and no trade is going to look perfect. That one definitely did not, but look how much it's paying dividends for Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks right now.
I need another opinion from you. Chris Canty said this morning on Sportsmanlike on ESPN.
This is the beginning of the Ant-Man era. We are ushering in a new era in the NBA. And it's about Anthony Edwards right now and his greatness and how that permeates throughout this team. And it creates a quiet confidence in terms of how they go about their business. I know people don't want me to jump out of the window. And I know we try to temper expectations. It's shades of Michael Jordan.
Is it the Anthony Edwards era yet? Or who is the next face of the league? Are we there? Who is it right now?
Right now, I would have to say, if you're going by recency bias, I would say the easy answer is Anthony Edwards. Again, doing it with a franchise that has not had that much success. But maybe unpopular opinion for the current face of the league is Jason Tatum. Because Jason Tatum has been the best player on the best team top to bottom for the last 2 or 3 years now. They just haven't gotten over the hump and won a championship. It looks like right now, if I had to pick a finals matchup, it'd probably be a crash course between the Celtics and the Timberwolves, right? But the Celtics have that experience. Jason Tatum has carried his team to the finals. He just hasn't carried his team to a championship yet. So I think Anthony Edwards right now, maybe the second best player, or maybe the second answer to your question there, and who's the face of the league. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think despite what Anthony Edwards is doing, despite the recency bias, I'm still going with Jason Tatum.
You just made Roy very happy. I'm just telling you, I just made Roy very, very, very happy when it comes to that, man. Something else that was interesting you sent to me, it's odds, right? It's people that put out best guess scenarios. And look, nothing's happened. Obviously, the Heat just wrapped up their series. They're trying to figure out what to do moving forward. Do they keep Jimmy Butler? Do they not? All those different things. Pat Riley, shut your mouth if you're not playing a game. He said that here as well. Tyler Hero, fragile, whatever. But I thought it was interesting. You sent me something where the 76ers, best odds right now, at least by this sports book, to get Jimmy Butler. But the Pelicans were next. Do you think that'd be a realistic thing? And would you like to see Jimmy buckets here?
I think it is realistic, but I think it's really, really high risk, high reward. And if you remember, the Pelicans once upon a time actually tried to trade for Jimmy Butler. In 2017, I think it was, they offered Nikola Mirotic and a couple of first-round picks, and the Timberwolves at the time did not do it. But can you imagine what Jimmy Butler's mentality would do for a team like this, specifically for an individual like Zion Williamson? Like, getting shown up on national TV, being out of shape halfway into the season, and then getting in shape, being praised, that's not going to fly if Jimmy Butler comes here. And you saw how much it helped an organization like Miami, who was ready for that kind of thing. And you saw how much it hurt at the time an organization like Minnesota, who since then has recovered, but definitely were not ready for it at the time. And it kind of feels like Karl Anthony Towns' reputation is even still recovering with the Timberwolves doing as well as they are with what happened with Jimmy Butler. So if you ask me to do like a direct swap with Ingram and Jimmy, maybe even give up some picks, I'm definitely about that life. But if you're David Griffin, Trajan Langdon, Willie Green, you really need to evaluate the fit on the court, obviously, but also off the court, and see if that's something that would work. If Zion would respond to somebody like that, if the answer is yes, I say you swing the bat and you do it. But if you don't think your team is ready for a mentality like that, then I think you maybe go elsewhere, maybe get somebody a little younger. But definitely interesting.
There you go. Mario Jerez, thank you so much, man. Appreciate the time. We'll chat again mañana.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, Gus. Have a great Tuesday, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. Good stuff. It's going to be interesting to see where the Pels go and what kind of moves they make and what offers are there or not. And to Mario's point, I think fit, to me, is the biggest thing. Because that's the thing right now, right? Isn't that the question? Does so-and-so fit with so-and-so? Seems to be. So fit needs to be just as much as whether or not that person brings in the talent or not. Final segment of the Sports Hangover coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. Lots of people talk about what Anthony Edwards has been able to do. A lot of the reason people really are just following this guy, again, we've been talking about him all season, especially here. I mean, I've been saying the guy reminds me of MJ. He does some things that just looks like him. It's the mentality. Dude plays angry. Plays like you stole something from him. Every time, every possession, every game. That's the difference. I thought Evan Cohen said it really good going into a break earlier this morning from Unsportsmanlike on the morning show here before T-Bob and them. He said, what, you know, what's first or what comes first? That mentality, that thing that Brady, Tiger, those greats have, that win at all costs sort of thing, or does winning first and then that happens? And I think we all agree, and they all agreed, that's first. That leads to you doing that. Right? And like, that's why we get excited when we see glimpses of it in hopes that it's going to be the norm when Zion's yelling, getting a technical, blocking a shot. Like, that way he played against the Lakers when he had 40, that's what Anthony Edwards is doing all the time. Maybe it's not 40 points, but it's that effort and energy, both sides of the floor. That's what it takes to be great. You be good, you're a top player in the league. Like, that's what we saw that night against the Lakers. That's what this guy is doing right now. That's why he's special. That's why he's different. That's what Ja can do. You've seen him be able to do. For Zion to ever get anywhere near that echelon, it's like he did. And that's I wouldn't say it's the problem. That's the thing that needs to be refined in his game. A, he's got to make it to the postseason. He's got to play in the postseason. He's got to play the season. But it's so hard. Like, you watch the 40-point effort from Brunson yesterday, the 40-point effort from Anthony Edwards, and you watch the 40-point effort from Zion. Which one's harder? That's why I love what everyone kind of sees here in trying to get a facilitator and a ball handler. And I think Charles Barkley's right. Get Zion, somebody that can give him the ball once he's gotten past that line of the fence. You're asking him for a full season to go past three players over and over again, even on a made shot, on a play that likely he won't get a foul called. He's going to land on the floor. He lands on the floor a ton. I'm just asking, do you see Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, do you see those guys landing on the floor, SGA tonight? You don't see them landing a ton on the floor, the wear and tear. But I love the attitude. It's the attitude. He was asked, are you afraid that the defending champs are going to come out swinging in game three?
No, not at all. It worked in our favor tonight, man. That's all that was. We made shots. They didn't. That's the defending champs over there. So they're not going to come out and play like that again in game three. We got to be ready to take their punch. And I always tell the team, like, when we huddle up and Finchie say, we got to be ready to take their punch, I say, we're going to punch too. I mean, they're not the only one punching in the fight. So, I mean, yeah, just like that. They're not the only one that's going to come out punching. I don't give a damn if we go up 3-0 for the game four, we're going to come out punching too. So they got to be ready to take our punch, and we'll be ready to take their punch. But, yeah, I don't see no slippage in their games. They just missed shots tonight. They'll be ready to go game three, and we will be.
There you go. So, gives you an idea of that mentality, and I love that. And look, again, I'm not trying to bring everything and relate everything, but I am, because that was one of the top teams in the West all season. That is now a team that you have to go through and beat. That's what's missing in New Orleans. And you heard Larry Nance say it at the end of the season when he was asked, are y'all close? He goes, we're not close, because that's close. The understanding that every game, every possession, the you can't have the, well, for whatever reason, you know, they didn't come up with the energy, didn't have the effort, didn't have that. That can't happen, but it has to be led by someone. For the T-Wolves, it's led by them. For the Thunder, it's led by SGA. For the Pels to move forward, it has to be led by Zion, and it has to be like that, like Brunson. Sports Hangover, we'll see you tomorrow on Wednesday. Matt Muscoden after further review is next. Thanks for tuning us in. You've been listening to ESPN New Orleans.